New Orleans defensive end Cameron Jordan, who has spent each of his 15 NFL seasons with the Saints, will hit free agency for the first time in his career. Jordan is an 8-time Pro Bowler who racked up 10.5 sacks last season. Houston Texans offensive tackle Trent Brown has agreed to a 1-year extension. Denver Broncos offensive lineman Alex Palcheski has agreed to a 2-year extension. In the NBA, the Boston Celtics have upgraded Jason Tatum to questionable for Friday's game against Dallas. Tatum has not played this season as he recovers from a torn Achilles. The Washington Wizards announced that Anthony Davis will be out at least 2 more weeks due to ligament damage in his left hand.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, applications are open for FarmPath, a national program designed to make farming more accessible and achievable for aspiring and beginning farmers. The free 3-year program provides practical education and best practices for resilient agriculture and farm management, access to experienced mentors, and connections to a network of ag professionals. FarmPath integrates training with an in-depth instruction on the systems, markets, and decisions that shape long-term success. Go to farmpath.org for more. Well, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins announced the imminent disposal of USDA's South Building and Braddock Place to reduce their real estate footprint in the nation's capital. With more than 85% of the building unoccupied and more than $1.6 million in deferred maintenance needed, Rollins says this is a long overdue move when we should be closer to the producers we serve. She adds it's unacceptable to put these costs on U.S. taxpayers. Well, the National Potato Council installed its 2026 roster of executive committee leaders during the group's annual Washington summit. Ben Sklarzik of Michigan is the council's new president for the next year. He's a third-generation grower and owns a hydroponic seed potato operation in his hometown of Johannesburg. Sklarzik has been involved with the NPC since the early 2000s and joined the NPC board of directors in 2010.
Cattle producers make plans to attend the 52nd annual Loosely Red Angus production sale Tuesday, March 10th, 1 o'clock p.m. at the ranch in Ashton, Idaho. Selling 100 yearling Red Angus bulls designed to add value, you improve your herd and go to work year after year. Also offering 40 open purebred heifers straight from the replacement pen. View the catalog, watch videos, and find more information by visiting looselyredangus.com and bid live at liveauction.tv. Loosely Red Angus, built for real-world performance.
Spring alternaria pressure can be a real issue for almond growers, but Alyssa's fungicide can help control it. How do I know that? Because I'm an almond grower, and that hammering sound isn't from a shop. That's the sound of Alyssa's fungicide hitting back against diseases. Hey, can you keep it down for a minute? With two powerful active ingredients, Alyssa's fungicide lays a strong foundation against alternaria, rust, and scab, delivering dependable, long-lasting residual control. Okay, you're good now. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Maria Bartiromo, and this is the Fox Business Report. Stocks are falling sharply as oil prices jump to their highest levels in 14 months due to the conflict in the Middle East. Treasury yields are also jumping with worries that higher inflation could keep the Fed from cutting interest rates. Airlines and stocks of smaller U.S. companies are tumbling and suffering some of the sharpest losses today. However, shares of Broadcom are jumping 3% in a down market after the chip and software maker's quarterly results beat forecasts. Its artificial intelligence revenue more than doubled, and shares of Trade Desk are surging 18% after a report said that OpenAI has held talks with the company about helping to sell ads on its flagship ChatGPT platform. The number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits last week was unchanged from the previous week, a sign that layoffs remain at historically low levels, with claims matching the prior week's 213,000. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. He's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
When are public servants not public servants? When they go on strike. This is an issue which must be resolved and can be by public action. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, quote, "A strike of public employees manifests nothing less than an intent on their part to prevent or obstruct the operations of government until their demands are satisfied. Such action, looking toward the paralysis of government by those who have sworn to support it, is unthinkable and intolerable," unquote. FDR summed it up pretty well. His words mean that those who choose government employment become a part of the government establishment and are sworn to uphold it. Their employers are not their immediate superiors or even the elected representatives of the people. Their true employers are the people. No amount of rhetoric or reciting of cliches such as second-class citizen can change the fact that there is a fundamental difference between private and public employment. In the fiscal year that ended in October 1975, some 316,000 government workers at all levels engaged in unauthorized and illegal work stoppages a total of 490 times. They struck for a total of almost 2.5 million workdays in that 1 year, generally over wages and hours. Tragically, the worst offenders were our teachers, those we trust to implant standards of conduct, concepts of trust and responsibility in tomorrow's citizens. There are almost 10 million full-time state and local employees, and more than half now belong to employee organizations. Some refusing to join such organizations have been forced to contribute dues to the organizations they refuse to join, and the Supreme Court has upheld this coercion. In my own state, the citizens of California have an opportunity to do something about this situation. Disturbed by a change in the law which gave teachers' unions the right to bargain for non-members, professional teachers and other citizens have formed a committee for individual rights. This committee is circulating petitions to put a proposed constitutional amendment on the ballot in 1978. So far, they have attracted an impressive array of endorsements from office holders, chambers of commerce, and other organizations such as the Professional Educators Group, National Association of Professional Educators, and the Professional Educators of Los Angeles. Their proposed amendment would make it, quote, unlawful for any public employee or any employee organization, directly or indirectly, to induce, instigate, encourage, authorize, ratify, or participate in a strike against any public employer, unquote. The measure continues spelling out what enforcement of this prohibition would entail. Quote, any violation by a public employee shall result in mandatory dismissal and in the loss of tenure or seniority, and in the event that such employee has both tenure and seniority, the loss of both, unquote. Anyone dismissed for striking could not be reinstated, but would have to take his or her chances of being rehired as a new employee. The amendment frees each employee from obligation to be represented by an organization as a prerequisite to employment. It also states that dues or fees cannot be imposed as a condition for hiring, nor can there be an assessment of such fees for political purposes. I'll assure you, the National Education Association will come out against this proposal. But I hope my fellow Californians will rally round and help provide the 500,000 signatures needed to put this on the ballot. It is time for the citizenry of all the 50 states to declare that public employees cannot strike. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And I want to recommend that everybody go to Cal Coast News and read. Paso Robles schools need to focus on learning, not encouraging dissent. It's an opinion piece by Kenny Enney. Kenny Enney is involved with the radio station. He does co-host a show on Fridays. Kenny Enney is also a board member of the Paso Robles Unified Joint Unified School District, and very involved in what is going on in the school district. And as you know, yesterday I had Brad Pawlowski on, talking about a number of things, including the bond measure, the teachers' union wanting a raise, and also the protests. Today, I'm going to have Kenny on and a different view on some of these things. They probably agree on some and don't agree on others. So you're going to hear a little bit different view. We're really going to get into what's going on with the protests. Didn't do that as much with Brad. With Kenny, we're going to get very heavily into some of the groups tied to teachers and what's actually going on. And this isn't, he said, she said, this isn't documents. This is in reports. This is in groups that the teachers are involved in promoting anti-Trump rhetoric and student protests. We will be going over all this today. Kenny, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you having me on since I'll be going through withdrawals. Darsha won't have any problem talking for an hour and a half tomorrow or the following Friday.
So you're not going to be on for a couple of weeks?
No, ma'am. I'm going on a holiday.
Where are you going to?
I'm going to Europe.
Oh, sounds nice. You want to keep that kind of... Anyway, we're going to... let's get on to the bond measure first.
Okay.
What do you personally think of this proposed bond measure?
I haven't hidden my opposition to it, and my opposition really stems from I don't think the district has demonstrated a good need yet. There's a lot of stuff that's listed as a nice to have, and I listened to Brad yesterday, and there's a lot of talk about, well, we need to clean up the campus over at the high school, and all the money that's laid out or that they're asking for is really only focused on the high school. There's one iteration where they talk about expanding some projects for Liberty and Independence, but there's nothing that they've laid out that really makes me slap the table and say, oh yeah, we got to do that, you know, for the good of the school. The projects, Brad didn't get into them, but the projects that were laid out for the high school that they presented to the board were new specialized spaces for students with disabilities, new CTE classrooms, including culinary, new cafeteria student center, new event center with capacity for 2,200, HVAC and Hall of Fame, modernized classrooms, campus-wide HVAC, flooring, technology, paint, roofing, modernized restrooms, increased green space for outdoor learning, modernized entrance. Some other things that were laid out were security cameras, restrooms, more shade, teacher's lounge, things like that. I mean, there's nothing in there that makes me think this is needed right now in order to fix our academic performance. And that's my focus. And then for the Liberty Independence, which is across the street over where the district office is, they talk about a new Independence High School facility. And Independence, for the listeners, is the sort of homeschool hybrid program. Liberty is the alternative, and then Independence is sort of a homeschool. And so right now they share spaces. And I will say, I've had the opportunity to meet Mr. Gonzalez, who's the new principal over there, and I really like him. We're on the same wavelength. He's a former probation officer. He's running a good tight ship over there.
Do you agree that, because right now, again, there is a declining enrollment, mm-hmm. and it's going to, I know they expect maybe a bump in 26 because of doing a pre-kindergarten. They expect to have a few more kids in that year. But I'm wondering if there really is a big reduction this year, is that bump falsely put in? But do you believe that they should break these two up, or can they coexist? Because isn't when you're doing the independent, you go in every once in a while and get your work and take some tests.
Correct.
Do you think that it's better to continue doing them together, or would you like to see a new program, a new building?
Whether they keep them together or not, I'm not convinced they need a new building. Now, in my conversations with Mr. Gonzalez, and again, I kind of look at a bond measure as, having done stock trading and stuff in my past, you're looking at, this is an investment, and what's your return on investment going to be? And so you base future performance, you look at how they've done in the past. And I have confidence in Mr. Gonzalez over there. He's got some good ideas. And what he's pointed out is, in order to maximize what he wants to do at Liberty, they need to move Independence out. That doesn't mean you have to build a new building. We have facilities on 36th Street that are underutilized. We're going to have the Culinary Arts Center. You know, if this bond measure were to go through, Mrs. Loftus wants to move the culinary arts program over to the main campus because we have so many transportation challenges. Well, you could put the Independence program over at that building. I mean, the problem I've always had with staff, and having been on staff shows up with the ideas that they want the boss to choose from. And so you always, when I would brief generals, he usually had three courses of action. One was always the throwaway that was just so outrageous that they would never pick it. And then you had, one that was really, really good, that was usually the one that the staff wanted. And then there was one that was somewhere between what the boss really wanted and what the staff wanted. But I just, every time I see presentations from the staff, I'm at a disadvantage because I don't see the same information that they have, and I know that they're presenting what they want. And I just, there's nothing that they've showed me that makes me think we really need to have new buildings.
And when they're talking about, one of the things that he brought up yesterday was, and I actually thought this was good in this day and age, is having more of the education, learning to do other
career technical education.
But I'm wondering, if culinary is their primary one, that's kind of a low pay.
No, they have, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, there are 16 career technical education pathways. I think we have 14, but we have their various pathways under agriculture that you're going to have the FFA kids in later. That's one of the pathways. Culinary is one of the pathways. There's a welding falls under that. There's carpentry. There's automotive. So there are other programs as well. I wouldn't say that culinary is the primary. It's just one of several that are over there. I'm a huge proponent of the CTE program. The cosmetology program is something that I really pushed for. They're doing that down in Arroyo Grande, and we're going to do it here. I still haven't seen anything. I haven't seen enough of the plan to say, yeah, we need to go out and ask the taxpayers for more money. They're not there yet. I'm used to having a plan and then going and saying, this is what I need to execute that plan. And we're asking for money. And then I think we're going to base the plan based off of how much money shows up or not.
And again, I think it also has to look at where the student population, where it actually is right now. I have a public records request in for populations numbers from January 2025 and then January 2026. And I think it'll be interesting to see in just 1 year's time where things are.
Yeah, I don't know if I can bring it up on my phone here, but there was a presentation that I'd sent you, and I don't remember those numbers right off the top of my head.
That was based on the October numbers, and they asked right. me if I'd look at October numbers. I don't want to see the October numbers. I want to see 1 year from January to January.
And that's another excellent reason why to kind of hold off. When you look at the political environment of not only the state, but also the nation as a whole, immigration and immigration enforcement, which we're going to talk about here shortly, that's going to have an impact on our student population.
That's why I asked from January to January, because Trump came in January, and I want to know what January to January shows as the student population, because that I think reducing costs has to be a primary. If you're going to ask for money and raise money, you've also got to look at tightening your own belt. And I notice in government, and I'm not talking school districts, I'm more talking about, for example, cities. And they regularly, there are cities that do both. They'll go, okay, we're going to cut this, let's do a mixture of both. And then you have those that go, well, let's raise all the fees. Instead of a fence costing this much for a permit, let's make it this much. And then let's make this much. And in the end, we'll make all this work. And there are some real big legalities with that. In fact, the city of SLO is getting had a lawsuit filed yesterday.
Yeah, I just saw that.
And it's pretty extraordinary. There's this idea that they're going to charge people to do, if you're going to do a house, you have to pay these extra fees. But they were getting really hard. So somebody tore down one house and put up four units and four ADUs, and they wanted them to pay almost $100,000 for these fees. Well, the law is very clear. You cannot charge fees that aren't going to go to the project. And San Luis Obispo has been doing that. You want to put in a house, they want you to pay for somebody else's to make their water put in protections on another property. That is, I think they're going to really get I think this is going to change. Instead of being a little bit in trouble, they may be more in trouble with their finances. But I noticed city after city that does this. Instead of saying, okay, do we have too many people in this position? What can we do over here? How can we fix this? They're just looking for more money.
Oh, exactly. And they're protecting their own backsides, I think, in a lot of cases. The raising of the fees and stuff like that, in my opinion, is done for no other reason than protecting the bureaucrats that are in the positions. They've become what we used to term the self-licking ice cream cone. they exist for themselves. you know, my answer has always been, or my recommendation has always been with a lot of these bureaucracies, particularly in like a planning department, AI, I think, could save millions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions of dollars a year, especially in a planning department. Just tell the computer what the criteria are for the plan check, feed it into the computer, you're going to have an answer in 10 minutes.
And you're going to have something that's not based on game playing and wanting to show your job's important.
Exactly. And you're going to save lots of money.
I think things are going to change. Have you seen enough cutting back on expenditures at the district?
There has been a drop. You know, we're going through another wave of personnel cuts, and I'm not really happy. There's a lot of finger pointing. I'm not really happy with either the district office or the teachers union on this, but there are cuts. I don't think it's the 10% that Brad said yesterday. I would have to go back and double check, but I still see what I consider to be frivolous spending. And you know, we're still last year in the 2024-25 fiscal year, we still spent about $60,000 on coffee and pizza and stuff, and I still see that. Now, one thing that I've kind of prodded Mrs. Loftus about is I used to be able to look at the accounts payable, and I could see, you know, I'll use Brad, but I could see Brad Pulowski, you know, went off to Spearhead Coffee and spent $4 of taxpayers' money on coffee. They've taken the names off now. So this is the government credit card. So I don't know who spends money anymore on that government credit card, but I can see that it's still being spent. And in my opinion, they need to do away with the government credit card. There's a lot of cost savings that could be made. Government credit card, I think, is one. There have been multiple times last year where the per diem rates were violated. That's really, you know, people like Peterson on the board will come back and say, well, it's not that much money. Yeah, but it's a leadership thing. If you're going to ask, if you're going to talk about cutting people's jobs, or you're going to go to the taxpayers and say it's only going to cost you a cup of coffee a week, then you need to show that you're willing to make those cuts as well. And I don't see that yet out of the district office. So there are some cuts there that I'd like to see. I still think, you know, because of our inability to transport kids to school in the morning, I think there are a lot of efficiencies there that could be made. I am really not, I'm not happy. I do think that the district's probably still too top heavy, but in my discussions with Mrs. Loftus, I'm not sure what could be cut. You know, Brad, I think the number was 83. There are 83 administrators 6 or 7 years ago, and they're still 83. Well, their salaries have gone up. Now, when you talk with...
And there's fewer students and fewer schools.
Fewer students and fewer schools. The thing that I really want to see is I want to see sort of a procedural audit. I would like, and I've asked Mrs. Loftus for this already, and I have good constructive conversations with her, unlike the board meetings, which are sort of canned scenarios. But you know, the conversations that I've had with her, there was a series of articles that were done on the Epoch Times a couple of weeks ago, and they were about why there are more school administrators than there are teachers, and which I've found very interesting. And the thesis of this article was that you have more requirement for administrators now because state legislatures are increasing the administrative requirement burden, the reports burden, and that the teachers are not willing to do those reports because their unions basically prevent it. So you're now having to hire these people to do all this reporting requirement that's required by Sacramento or, you know, wherever. And that, I could believe that. I've seen that before in my life. But again, that goes back to, all right, then we need to have somebody, an outside party, come in and say, you know, we're going to do a procedural audit and figure out, all right, You know, does any really need to do all this stuff here? Is there a better way of doing this? You know, can we eliminate any's position as an administrator and have these other people do it? There's still some efficiencies that are going to be made. There are going to be cuts. I think we're looking at 26 more cuts. But keep in mind, we increased by 200 since COVID, and we've only cut about 100 right now.
And that was increasing because they had COVID money.
Right.
And this is what a common issue that occurs in government. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Kenny Enney.
I'm not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect, and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finish work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
Time for Mattress Talk with Rich London.
Got them with springs underneath, with latex on it, memory foam, you name it, I've got them in here. I've got them all on special prices, and of course I still have some of my closeout models too. But I've even got adjustable bases, Jerry. So whatever model bed you like, we can make it where you get your legs up so you don't get the swelling in your legs. We can get your back up, take the pressure off your back, and just give you comfort at the same time.
In Paso Robles, the mattress specialist is at 13th and Riverside.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385. 805-460-7385. Stay comfortable and protected on the job with new boots from Tack and Shoes. Come in today. You'll find the area's biggest and best selection of high-quality footwear from brands like Wolverine, Redback, Danner, Timberland, Ariat, Keen, and so much more. Let Tack and's professionally trained staff help you find the perfect pair of boots for the kind of work you do. Tack and Shoes, at the corner of 8th and Spring in Paso, 668 Marsh in San Luis, and online at 805boots.com. Tack and's, proudly serving the Central Coast since 1937.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesdays and Thursdays. I have Kenny Enney. He often does the Friday show, or Gregory does. He's going to be gone for a couple weeks on vacation. He's here today. We're talking about some things about the Paso Robles School. After the top of the hour, we're going to focus on the issues with immigration, ICE, protesting, and student behavior and allegations that the teachers are involved. But right now, I want to first get into the teachers' union and the teachers' union raises. Your board has to vote on this, correct?
Yes, ma'am. And, the disconnect right now is, what the state's offering and what the teachers' unions
And finances being low.
Right.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Hey, I'm sorry for calling. I came late to the show, but I was just going to ask Kenny, did they find if there was any faculty involvement in that walkout from Clemson?
There are allegations, but that's really all I know at this point. I know the district's going to look into it, and I would encourage, I've encouraged parents that have reached out to me to, you can go online and file anonymously, make a report anonymously, and keep your kid out of it. Because I've had a lot of parents that say, my kid's teacher encouraged the kid to walk out, but I don't want my name or the kid's name used because I don't want any retaliation. Well, you can do it in anonymously, but it's a shame, in my opinion, that everybody's afraid of a retaliation. So.
I know times have changed, but I can't remember when I was that young having any much of that strong of a political opinion about anything.
Well, I think we're going to get into that after the top of the hour, but the research that I've been doing for the last few weeks, I've been reading the National Educators Association's handbook, and there's some, we'll just call them marching orders, in my opinion, that come out of that handbook. And Pastor Robles Public Educators is an affiliate of NEA. So,
is that a division of the Department of Education?
No, it's the National Teachers Union. So there's
There it is.
Yeah, so you have the National Teachers Union, and then you have in California, the California Teachers Association, and then you have the local chapter, which is the Paso Robles Public Educators. And so the teachers here in Paso that are still in the unions, they pay about $1,500 a year in union dues. It's $219 to national headquarters, $858 to state headquarters, and then $110 for local. So...
thank you very much for calling in. Yeah, I think it is a big deal to a lot of people here, and we will be going after that at the top of the hour. But so they're wanting 1%. But what happens if they do? You have the money? Are you running in a deficit right now?
We are still running at a deficit. And Mrs. Loftus and the staff presented a plan at the last board meeting regarding the personnel cuts. And it's something that people need to understand as well, that when you're already working at a deficit and you want a when the district's already working at a deficit and the teachers union wants a pay increase, it's not a zero sum game. Something has to give. And right now, for every 1% of a pay raise that the union asks for, it works out to be about 7 employees positions. And so that would be on top of what's already been programmed in as a cut. And that, what's programmed in right now is about 26. And so if the union accepts, if a deal's reached right now and the union gets the 2-ish% increase and we cut 26%, at the end of this fiscal year, we'll actually have a balanced budget for the first time in about 7 or 8 years.
We're going to take our top of the hour break. We'll be back with more with Kenny Enney and talking about the protests going on with students in Paso Robles.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.